Okay, right. Here we go. Well, good evening and welcome to the latest edition of the Forever Bristol City podcast. Final score at Ashton Gate, sunny Ashton Gate this afternoon. It finished City 0, Preston North End 0. That's 13 home games without a victory. In fact, no fans, a victory with fans in the ground. Last time that happened was January 2020, before the lockdown. So no wonder people are getting a little bit fed up. But I thought we did. Okay today. I'm hoping Ian is with me in the room now. Are you in the room, Ian?
He is.
He is. There we go. Dave. Ian is in da room. Good show. Good show. I think Tuvy. I think Mark was trying to get back. He was on Coronation Road the last time I spoke to him. This is a problem of doing these at 6 o'clock on a Saturday just after the game. But it worked for you, and I can be home in good time anyway. Ian, I've just done the piece at the front saying, you know, it was a 0-0 draw, the 13 games now without a win, but we are getting better. Would you agree with that sentiment?
Yeah, but like I've said a few times, Dave, I mean, getting better is a very low bar, because if you look at where we were at the end of last season, I mean, I made a point earlier on Radio Bristol when they called. I think even Pearson, with all his experience, was a bit traumatised by the end of last season, and he's setting up trying not to lose, particularly at home. And because of that, we don't look like winning games. And although we were much better in the second half today, we could have been 2-0 down quite easily by half time.
Oh, goodness me. Yeah, so, no, I agree. Totally agree with that.
So what we need, I think if you want to play 4-4-2, and according to the BBC website and Robin's TV, that's what we played today with Baker at left back. You can't do that because it puts us out of place. In terms of, look, we had a left centre back playing left back. We had a left back playing left wing. We had a right centre back stroke right back playing right back. And we had a central midfield player, Masengo, playing right side midfield or right wing in old money. And that will not work. And there's not enough creativity. So if you want to play 4-4-2, play De Silva or Pring with O'Dowda in front of him, who once again weren't even on the bench today, and then play Zach Viner or George Tanner with Antoine Semenyo in front of him. And that way, you've got attacking wide players, and you've got Masengo, where he's better, which is in the centre of midfield, not pushed out wide. Yeah. And I think Matty James missed him today. So I don't think, unless you're going to play 3-5-2, I don't think you can play King, Masengo and James in the same team. So,
and those three were in there today. I mean, it's interesting. Listening to some of the comments, I think it was before the game, or it might have been Jeff Twentyman saying afterwards, he showed loyalty to the team that had won at Cardiff a couple of weeks ago. And this business of Baker at left back, I like him there because it's about getting your best players in the team. I thought he showed some good footwork today, for a big bloke. And we were, I think Cameron Pring is excellent. But, you know, if you have De Silva with Pring in front, you lose that weak, you lose that physicality defensively. And we look a lot better, I think, with the physicality in a back four. And, okay, somebody texted me at halftime and said he thought Zach Viner was really poor today. So did I. There seems to be a split camp on this today. But I think if we can get the right back thing sorted out, then, you know, that back four, although it's a home game, I think it's okay. I think what you say in the middle of the field, I think Andy King, he's at an age where I think he's a good squad player. He's a good player to come on for the last 20 minutes. But I think if you had James, Masengo, Scott, and Pring to give you, you know, the pace of Pring and the creativity of Scott and the energy and what have you of James and Masengo, I think that would work. So we looked a little bit at sea today in the middle of the park because, as again, I've heard it said on other media, but James was poor today with his distribution, as was King. And if those two aren't functioning, we look poor. And I think you said, Ian, quite rightly, that Masengo moved inside more in the second half. And he had a much better second half, as the team did as a whole. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I do, and I think if you, I went to a when I was doing my coaching badges, I went to a seminar and Arsene Wenger was speaking, and they asked him about attacking teams and defensive teams, and we thought we were going to get some 25-minute long lecture about positions, and he said, well, basically, if you want to have an attacking team, you put more attacking players in it, and if you want a more defensive side, you put more defenders in it.
Yeah,
and that was it. And yeah, and it, that's the truth. And if you look at players, I've said for a while, we're not full of goals. But one thing interested me this week, I looked at the England versus Poland game, and Poland set up with a formation that I can't remember seeing before, which was 3-2-3-2. And that would allow you to play Wales and Martin up front and Wijnman in behind as one of the three. So you'd be getting over that conundrum of, well, okay, we've got three good forwards in Martin, Wells and Wijnman. How do we get them all inside without playing one of them wide? Well, that's exactly how you do it. And I think if you want that cleverness, if we'd have matched Preston up today, and I said this 2 weeks ago,
yeah,
Preston play a 3-4-1-2 and Daniel Johnson is the one.
Yeah.
And he was a standout player. Those clever little slip passes.
Yeah, yeah.
That's exactly what Alex Scott could do for you
exactly.
in that position, because he can see the pass and Andy Wijnman can make the runs. And defences in the Championship can't live with that pass. And it was the same pass Johnson did a couple of times, was exactly the same pass that Packham did us with at Cardiff when Moore made the wide run and nobody went with it.
Yeah.
Because Championship defenders struggle with that movement. Don't ask me why, but, you know, Prem defenders pick it up. But Championship guys don't pick the movement up until it's too late.
Yeah.
And I thought Preston's movement up front was vastly superior to ours, particularly in the first half. We got hold of them a little bit more in the second half, but we did actually... where we dominated the ball a little bit more. But he needs to really think about it, Nigel Pearson, because if you want to play 4-4-2, and I don't care what the formation is, providing we utilise our best players, get attacking players in the team.
Yeah.
And then you'll score goals. All right. We might win games 3-2-4-2 instead of drawing them or possibly winning 1-0. But, I mean, I know what I'd rather watch, and I think fans will start to go back to watch that, because I thought the crowd, particularly after the international break, was really disappointed today.
17,000, yeah, I thought it was 3,000 less than the first two home games of the season. I just want to read out one of the messages on here from Folks23. Whatever the question is, O'Dowda is not the answer, FFS. Folks23, I've got to agree with you wholeheartedly there. And then Deo says, Baker at left back against Preston at home is too defensive with Viner at right back.
Totally agree.
It's too defensive, but what is the solution, you know, because I'm an advocate of Baker and Pring, and what is the solution at left back? Because I think it's putting too much on Pring to be a defensive left back, where the best part of his game is offensive. So we're weak again. When De Silva came on, I thought, my God, you know, and they played him in a very advanced role, because I thought they were going to put him at left back. Yeah. But, you know, I think we need that physicality there. Hey ho, it's all a matter of opinion.
Your argument for playing Baker at left back is an identical argument for why Viner's at right back. There's no difference in the argument. You just perhaps you like one player more than the other. But we've played four guys, we've played four centre halves at the back before under Lee Johnson, when we had Hordur Magnusson at left back and Bailey Wright at right back. So the playing four centre halves at the back is nothing new.
No.
What I'm saying is, if you want to attack more, you know, you've got, so who's the, if you play Pring and Tanner, let's say, because Tanner's more of a wing back than Zach Viner is. And Zach Viner is,
I agree. Yeah, well, I think Zach Viner's a good squad player, but I don't think he's good enough in any position to be in a starting lineup. That's just my own personal view.
Well, I think Viner is I think he's a right back as opposed to a right wing back, although he probably could play there. But I would say, on what the little bit I've seen of Tanner, which is about 10 minutes off off of YouTube, he looks as though he's good going forward, and he can cross a ball and he can shoot. Now, I wouldn't think that that was Zach Viner's best attributes, but he did great for a second half when that long ball went over the top and he tracked that runner and stopped him getting a shot in. Otherwise,
he did do some good things.
We could have easily lost that game 3 or 4 nil if Preston could have took their chances. So you're absolutely right. If you want to beat Luton, he's got the strength in the squad to change up and play more attacking players.
Yeah.
And let's get that game won, because then you're going into some very tough games. You've got QPR away, then you've got Fulham at home.
Is it Millwall away as well, and then Fulham at home and Peterborough away before the next international break? In fact, I've got it written down here. I can tell you precisely. No, QPR away, Fulham home, Millwall away, Peterborough away. There we go. Mark is in the room now as well. Yeah.
But if you've got, Fulham, I think, got beat by Blackpool today 1-0, which is a bit of a shock. Jeez. But we had somebody watching that and looking how Fulham play and say, right, how do we stop them doing the good stuff? And emphasize our game. But once again, I think you need players who can get you on the front foot. Now, it might be that he has to play one way at Ashton Gate and differently away. Well, okay, that's fine. The top clubs do that. So let's think about it. Let's think about who we're playing. But if I can see what Preston were going to play like for 2 weeks ago, I'm sure we got a battery of analysts at Ashton Gate and a very experienced manager and coaches. Surely they must be able to see it and think, Daniel Johnson's the guy we've got to stop. And in the first half, we just plain didn't stop him. And that was just poor for me.
Yeah, no, he was. He was a standout player, as he has been on so many occasions. Mark, you've just come into the room. You've made your way home through all the traffic. I'm going to talk about the game in a minute. The lineup is getting some criticism for being too defensive and maybe too loyal to the team that won at Cardiff. What were your views on that? Or are your views on that?
I can see why you picked the team again, wanted some continuity. But I think with the international break, any momentum was lost. And you could see that in the first 10 minutes when we almost gave away a goal, you know, early on when King gets a soft header and Johnson just plays Maguire in but for bending his feet. We were just very slow at the blocks. And I didn't like Massengo starting on the right. I think we tweaked it and he moved back into the middle and he was much more effective. You know, he looks excellent there alongside James. But I think it was our lack of creativity, really. I mean, someone like Daniel Johnson as the number 10, who was threading the ball through for Maguire. The other guy, Rhys Jacobson, you know, was pretty ineffectual, but Maguire was good at finding space. But we had nobody like that who could play the ball between their centre-backs. Too often we tried to go wide and neither Pring or Massengo, whoever were able to, you know, get behind them in the first half. It was only the late substitutions that did that. We were just playing too long to Martin again.
Yeah. Ian, first half, let's sort of get into the game. I haven't made too many notes on it, so I'm relying on you guys for bits of action that I might have missed. But they had those early chances, you say. I think their number two shot into the side netting. Yeah.
Is your sound going funny or something like that? I can hear you coming in and out doing a Norman Collier.
No, I should be all right.
No, I think I can hear him okay at this end.
Yeah, might be you in sunny Madeira. Let's look at a little bit of detail in the action. Yeah. Atkinson, he's showing Webster tendencies the way he strode out of defence, and what a cracking shot that was, Ian. That the keeper, well, that was going in top corner, wasn't it, where he burst through from the middle. What did you think of that attempt?
Yeah, I thought that was good. And he came out today to better effect. He's come out on a few occasions and lost the ball and put us under pressure. But today he came out to good effect. Although, in fairness, defensively, he struggled with Maguire's movement. So, and I think that's a little bit about having another centre-half at full-back as well. So, you know, I think there's lots of areas to improve upon. But you look at that game today and you're probably, with the possible exception of Bentley, who made some, I mean, I thought their keeper, if you had to pick a man of a match from both teams, it would have either been their keeper or Johnson, because their keeper did make three what I'll call good saves. They, yeah, they weren't worldies, but they were good saves.
Yeah.
The one from Martin from the free kick, that was nice saveable height, really, and yeah, not close enough to corner. Same thing with Atkinson's shot, and the one he tipped over the bar from Masengo was in the middle of the goal again.
Yeah.
So, you know, but at least we had those three efforts on target. But no, a rethink tactically to attack more.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about the Luton game later on, because yeah, that's where we'll look definitely at what the team should be. I mean, you made a point there, Ian, that I heard Matt Wythe say when he was chatting to Jeff Twentyman on the Radio Bristol that Atkinson was caught out. He was showing that he's a player from lower divisions. I mean, Mark, did you think, I mean, Ian's already said that Maguire was tricky and what have you, but, you know, Atkinson, whilst he maybe did look a little bit short in terms of coping with it, he still did all right, didn't he? He didn't make any gaffes.
Yeah, I mean, City's weakness this season has been between the centre-back and full-backs, and Preston switched the ball well again today, but it was Maguire. I mean, he had that one-on-one chance after 5 minutes because King does an awful header in the centre, but there was too much room. And then Johnson threaded him through for the shot that hit the bar. But the best chance was when he got away again right at the end of the first half, and he had a cross shot across the goal from right to left, and it just needed a touch. There was nobody sliding in at the far post. A certain goal.
Excuse me, yeah. That's been happening too often, really, though, hasn't it? You know, balls into the left, or for left or right, spinning across the area. And I know when I saw the Villa friendly at the start of the season, they killed us with their goals with that type of movement. Is this Ian showing this weakness between which we have at right back? You know, because the balls do come fizzing it, well, from both sides, really, don't they?
Well, I think if you look about the movement, Callas struggled and Baker struggled as much with the movement as Atkinson did. So I don't think we should pick on him.
No.
But I think that's more to do with the shape. I'm not comfortable with the shape. And if you want to play an extra midfield player, play Scott, but play him where Preston played Daniel Johnson. And that way he'll hurt teams. And the Martin and Wells or Vyman will benefit because if they make a clever run, Scott will pick him out if we get him on the ball facing goal. So that's what I wouldn't ever play him wide left or wide right. That's his position. And he's the best player that we've got at the club in that position. But, you know, people say, well, Palmer can play 10. Well, yeah, Backinson can play 8 or he can play 10. So there's no way Andy King would be starting on Wednesday night against Luton. I think he really needs to think, all right, I can understand how the last 33 games of last season would have traumatised any manager and thought, yeah, my God, you know, we're going to go down if we're not careful. Mm. And he said himself, if the season had gone on a month longer, we would have gone down.
Yeah.
But I think he needs to now think, well, okay, I've sort of steadied the ship. We're 4 points off the playoffs and 4 points off relegation after 6 games. Let's win this one and put us into a better position going into a really tough away game at QPR and then playing a really tough game against Fulham.
And, yeah, and well, then, there we go. We've got Luton before then. Yeah, but
Luton's the next game. So if the Luton's the next game, so if he wants to play 4-4-2 against Luton, you know, and you don't want to make too many changes of personnel, like you don't want to bring George Tanner into the right back because he hasn't played before. So you've got Bentley in goal. You can go Viner, Callas, Baker, Pring across the back. You can go Semenyo, James, Masengo, O'Dowda across the midfield. Martin and Vyman up front. And you've got loads of options on the bench. If he wants to play 4-4-2, if you want to play a 3-4-1-2, then you can get Scott into the side to do the clever stuff. And then when you get 2 or 3-0 up, take Scott off. And stick anybody, you know, put Zach Viner in midfield as a defensive midfielder.
Well, you might even, for half an hour, you might even have Joe Williams available, because I know he was on the pitch pre-match, even though he wasn't in the match day squad. Let's just finish up on the game itself. But Mark, second half, it was a better showing from City, and Hanno Amasengo, you know, he's showing the skills. He's been playing ever since Pearson's been here, really, like he did in the first couple of months before Lee Johnson coached out any sort of going forwardness that he had about his play. And that shot that was tipped over, that deserved a goal, didn't it, early in the second half?
Yeah, it was dipping. I think that's the closest we came to a goal. The other two were quite comfortable saves, but yeah, it was dipping in it. You know, when Pearson was interviewed, he said, "Is it at the back of his mind?" And he said, "No, you know, Anne's just pretty positive." And I think that he plays very positively now. When we lose the ball, he's first there to win it back, and you know, build up attacks again. And I think he's much better off in the centre of the park than he is when he's out wide, because we lose that ability to turn over the ball and build attacks again. But he's no doubt our best, our most improved player.
Yeah.
And he's using that change in you know, his body shape, because, you know, obviously put on weight, he's got more upper body strength. He shields the ball very well. But he's also got other skills too. You know, he can pass the ball, and he can shoot.
Yeah, he did. I think he had a chance in the first half as well. If he'd been more confident in front of goal, yeah, he might have gone for it himself.
It was a great cross from Baker. Surprisingly, a great curve.
That's what I said. I thought Baker showed nimbleness in his footwork of a type I'd not seen before this afternoon. Well, there we go.
Well, he was almost like an auxiliary midfield player at times, so we weren't afraid to split the centre backs and get him probing up the left, because it means that you know, the other team go, it forces the other team backwards. You know, at times we make the other team look quite comfortable playing the ball side to side in front of them and find it very hard to get through. But yeah, I think that looked quite interesting, the way that we did that, threw players forward. But we weren't on the front foot enough today, and a draw was a fair result.
Draw was a fair result. Yeah,
it needs us to win on Wednesday, and it's not going to be easy. I mean, I'm just surprised. I've only just seen the score from Luton, and they fought back well to get a draw, didn't they? After being 2-0 down.
They did, yeah, 2-2 up there, and they scored two in the last 15 minutes. Ian, one feature of City's play since the Reading away game has been the Thomas Kalas long throw with the John Beck a la Cambridge style towel to dry the ball. And somebody said, people said a couple of things. Surely the pitch wasn't that wet. I know they watered one half particularly, that you needed the towel every time. But more importantly, Ian, it's becoming predictable. It's slowing the game down, and it ain't really done much since the Reading game, has it?
No, I completely agree. And the shame is, you could do with Kalas in the middle to head the ball. And I'm surprised they didn't use Zach Viner, who can throw it just as far and probably flatter. So unless Zach's suffering with his shoulder again, because he got a bad shoulder injury at Aberdeen,
Rotherham.
And that may
All
be
right, yeah.
why... No, Aberdeen, where he where he might be struggling with that, or he might want to take that out of his game in case he does his shoulder again. So, no, I'm not overly impressed with it. And I don't think, even with Baker and Atkinson in the side, I don't think we've really got the physical presence to get the best out of it. But set pieces generally, we're not very imaginative, and we're normally not that great. I mean, I think Matty James had a bit of an off day today, and hopefully he'll have his passing and free kick head back on by the time we play.
On Wednesday night.
Play Luton. But just strangely, Luton equalised in the 98th minute today because the referee got injured, Oliver Langford.
Oh, God. We'll talk about the ref.
So they equalise in the 98th minute, but they play a 4-2-3-1, and so did Blackburn today. So I think I think that will be 4-5-1 when they're defending. So you'll need someone either to play through the back four or show some power and some width out wide more than ever, because they'll just tie in and congest the midfield with that formation.
I'm so just looking at their line. I'm looking at their
City play.
Sorry, go on.
I'd like to see City play more in their half, because I don't think we do. When we do that, we do look more like scoring, although we don't look hugely like scoring a lot of times.
Yeah, no, I think today was probably the most underwhelming of the home performances that we've seen so far. Mark, statistics, we had 10 shots today, 3 on target, 50-50 possession, 8 corners. Ian has already alluded to the fact that Matty James had an off day, and you could argue to some extent so did Andy King. 10 shots, 3 on target. Would we say we're happy with that? What do you think?
They weren't really clear cut. They weren't really clear cut chances. They were all from distance, because City couldn't open up Preston. I think that was the problem. We still continue to try and play in a little higher ball through to Chris Martin to get a flick on. A bit too predictable. We just lack that ability, like Daniel Johnson, to play the ball between the centre backs. That's really what we needed to open them up. We could get behind them a couple of times at the end. De Silva was more effective at pring and pushing the ball on. Mackey Wells did similarly on the left side of it. I think we were playing with 3 up front at the end, and Semenyo as well. But yeah, they were really we were really at arm's length, you know, on chances. We didn't have any clear cut ones at all. I think that's the problem we are facing. The fact we've only scored 1 goal in 3 home games, that's the concern right now. We look better away, so we've really got to start doing something about our home form. But that's become a broken record, isn't it?
Ian, those statistics of today's game, 50-50 possession, you know, Preston were quite content for us to knock it around a bit as they did. Interesting, Jimbo's put a comment in there. Difficult to learn about Preston time wasting when, as I say, we were knocking around ourselves, and when Callis's throws on aggregate must have wasted a further 5 minutes of our own time. But 10 shots on 10 shots in a game, 3 on target at home, 8 corners, you'd expect a few more chances, really, wouldn't you? And getting a better ratio of shots on target when you've had 10 in total. Ian.
Yeah, apart from the long shots, I don't think we created a chance today. And you know, they were all, you know, decent long range efforts, but I would have been quite disappointed if I was Preston's manager and my keeper had let any of them in. I mean, I think the save from Atkinson was probably the best save out of the lot. They were all, you know, for a big keeper, they were nice distance off the floor and not right in the corner. So, but I'm just looking, if you want to know what you're up against, I mean, Fulham played the 4-2-3-1 as well, which seems quite popular. But against Blackpool today, Blackpool won the game 1-0 and had 1 shot on target and 30% possession.
Yeah.
So, and Fulham had 17 shots, 4 on target, 4 corners, and their manager said he was very disappointed because their tempo was poor. And that's something that I noticed, I'd say, about us in the first half. Our tempo was dreadful. And by the time we got the ball down, I mean, Preston were jogging back and getting in position. So I don't think, you know, we've played 3 home games now, as somebody's just pointed out on air. You know, we've played 3 home games and we picked up 2 points, which is poor, and we're not scoring goals at home. So he really does need to sit down with his coaches and his analysts and say, right, how are we going to become more attacking at home? Like I say, if that means winning games 3-2 as opposed to, you know, drawing them or possibly winning 1-0 or possibly losing 1-0, I'll go for the 3-2 option every time, because I think it will drive fans away. I mean, if you think about our season ticket holders, we've got 13,500 season ticket holders. Preston brought down 750. That's, what, 14,250. And so there was only about
3,000 pounds a day.
Which, Yeah, which is, you know, you can understand why people are saying, well, there's two games in a week. Which one? And I think people will pick which one they want to go to if they're a pay on the day type person as opposed to a season ticket holder, which we all know. I mean, they're counted whether they're there or not.
Yeah, no, they are. So, no, I noticed it did look it did look empty. Just 10 minutes before kickoff, you know, people are down on the concourses and what have you. Mark, one of the things that we were saying consistently through the lockdown season was the performance of referees, you know, where they didn't come to our attention very much. So clearly they were doing their job in a non-controversial manner. But today's referee, Mr. Robinson, I mean, it was all about him, wasn't it? And some of the stuff that he was giving, I think a couple of times, and it worked for both sides. Pushes went unpunished, although we seem to get more awarded against us. But it was a shambolic display from him, wasn't it?
Yeah, this game certainly didn't flow. There was one terrific pass out of defence by Zach Viner where it seemed to hit Andreas Weimann. He took it on his shoulder going down the left channel and would have set up a great attack. But for some reason, it was deemed a handball. But, yeah, I mean, it's just poor. Preston, I mean, just known for their time wasting. I mean, right at the end of the game, Vandenberg went down with a head injury and there was no head injury. Always very niggly little pushes in the back.
And didn't somebody go down off the pitch and then crawl back on the pitch?
Yeah, right in the top, right down by Section 82, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But with Jay De Silva, where he was, you know, he was looking to start. And so they just try and kill the game. I don't know the name of Preston's manager. The assistant took over, didn't he, from Alex Neil?
Yeah, I don't know.
Alex Neil at the end last season. Had a great run at the end of the season, but started off very poorly. Then they won a couple of games.
Yeah.
But yeah, Preston just bred into them about being niggly, you know, as you put it, shithousery. They're spoilers.
And it would have been even worse if they'd have gone 1-0 up or something like that.
Oh, God, yeah.
They'd have been happy. They'd have settled for a draw before the game, whereas I was really buzzing and thinking we're actually going to win today. Ian, just to finish on today's match, the referee from your side, I mean, he was not good, was he? You know, it was all over the place. You know,
I've seen a lot worse. I mean, he only booked one player from either side. Preston's manager is a guy called Frankie McAvoy, who's never played pro football. But I like their shape and their passing, particularly in the first half, more than ours. Yeah, there was a few people going down to do that, but that's up to the referee to manage it. Do I think he was great? No. But I don't think he affected the game any more than the guy against Swansea affected the game or the guy against Blackpool. I think when you start clutching referees and criticising referees and doing a Warnock, we're all clutching at straws there a little bit. I mean, none of them, I'd have given them all about 7 out of 10 for their performance.
Yeah.
They didn't give any stupid decisions like, you know, perfectly fair tackle gets given as a penalty or something hits a bloke in the face is given his handball. I mean, we've even had the one where the ball actually went, and that worked out in our favour against Palace that time when the ball flew in the back of the net, hit the stanchion, and came out, and the referee never gave a goal. So
I know that's
what I call a bad referee in performance. But I think you're clutching at straws, blaming the referee today.
I just thought he wasn't very good. He didn't cost us the game, or anything. Anything.
No, I just
like
thought
that.
He didn't allow that. The game didn't flow like some games. I mean, the difference today was, with Swansea, is we really started off the Swansea game on the front foot. We passed the ball a lot better and we created lots of chances early on, and we really built a platform where we should have gone on to win the game before we conceded right at the end, near the end of the first half. Today it was a lot more sluggish. The game seesawed. Neither side had control of the game, and a draw was a fair result. I think from a City perspective, we just look at that record, 26th of January, I think, what, is it 13 home games now or 14?
It's 13. And 13, in front of a crowd. 13
games.
In front of a crowd, right back to January the 2020, a Barnsley home game, Nicholas Eliasson's 88th minute winner. That was the last time the fans walked out. in happy frame of mind.
And no wins, and no own wins for Pearson still. That you know, it's a bit of a poor record.
Is
but
it?
I think
well, is it? I mean, we're
no. I mean, it's for home. I'm not. I mean, in terms of the performances and the way that he's building the team, I'm quite happy with the way the team are playing, but. I think we just weren't very creative today. The set pieces were poor from Matt James. Didn't get the ball over the first defender for about six out of seven of his corners. The throw-ins were quite predictable. You need to get to win the first ball. We didn't do that half the time, and the away team were just expecting it. It's just far too predictable. And I think the reason he has a towel is to wipe the sweat off the ball more than anything, any moisture off the ball. Obviously, the pitch ain't going to be wet, but there's still been some moisture on the ball. But it was just too easy.
And the other thing is, can we stop doing non-league throw-ins? Non-league throw-ins, the sort of throw-ins you get up the downs where you throw the ball down the line and somebody tries to flick it on? Throw the damn thing across the field.
Yeah.
Throw the damn ball across the field in open play. You watch any of the decent sides or any of the not so decent sides play, they throw the ball into the middle of the field to a midfield player who can pass it. Not down the line for a flick on. I mean, God almighty.
Well, that was one of the rationales for not doing the long throws, because when you've got midfield players of the type that we've got, you want them on the ball rather than have this predictable trajectory, which you've got probably 20 seconds to set up against anyway, haven't you? Yeah?
Well, it's okay to do it occasionally, but you've got to mix it up because it's just far too predictable.
Mm. Yeah, and the thing you've got there is if you're in the middle of the field and you're Matty James and you're looking up, you should have options in front of you. But a number of times, Preston moved the ball inside and they had midfield players in 10 yards of space.
Yes.
It's unbelievable.
I know. No, I know that.
Something that the analysts and the manager have got to say to the players, look, lads, we've got to stop this. And it's when you say you're happy with the way things are going and all the rest of it, being better than last season is just far, far, far too low a bar. And anybody that's happy with that, sorry, I'm not.
No.
I understand what you mean. But with the players that we have available, we could be more attacking, set up better and offer more threat. And to be honest, by attacking more, we can even improve our defensive record. Because at least we got a clean sheet today. That's something. But at least we can improve our defensive record because we wouldn't be under so much pressure.
No, I think you're right. I mean, let's look forward to the Luton game. And I know you've been pushing on a couple of occasions to say what the lineup should be and what have you. Let's look at this in detail. Let's look at this in detail now. I mean, Ian, what would your lineup be to start on Wednesday? I don't know why it's a bloody Wednesday. On Wednesday night, what would your starting 11 be? Over to you.
Because of the way that we've currently been playing, I wouldn't make too many. I wouldn't make what I'd call a tactical change. My change would be in personnel. So my team would be Bentley, Viner, Callas, Baker, Pring. I'd give Atkinson a little rest on the bench. Then from right to left, Semenyo, James, Masengo, O'Dowda. And then Martin and Vyman up front. And then lots of options on the bench to change it, bring on a third central defender. I'd say normally I'd go three at the back because I think that's getting your three best defenders on the field. And then go 3-4-1-2 with Scott in behind two strikers to do something clever.
So that's later on in the game. That's changing the team. Yeah.
Well, you can do that, or you could go to this 3-2-3-2 I mentioned, where Vyman drops back to just behind the two strikers, and you play Naki Wells and Chris Martin up front because they're a good combination, and it gives Vyman a little bit more freedom to make those clever runs. But I think what I want to see on Wednesday night is a really attacking formation. That you look at it and you think, oh, blimey, I can see crosses, I can see width, I can see goals in that. And I don't think we'd be any worse defensively for having one less defender on the pitch.
Hmm. What do you say, Mark? What would your lineup be?
I keep a back four, but I'd stick Cameron Pring in for Nathan Baker. So I'd have Pring, Atkinson, Baker, Viner.
Yeah.
And I'd have De Silva.
It was Callas. You left off Callas there.
Hang on.
Sorry, I meant Callas. I do apologise. Callas. Let me start again. Right, from the left. Apologies. Cameron Pring, Atkinson, Callas, Viner. With yeah. Daniel Bentley in goal, obviously.
Yeah.
Left midfield, I'd have De Silva. I drop King and put James and Massengo in the centre. Semenyo on the right, and I'd play Vyman behind Chris Martin. I'm not sure if O'Dowda. I'd like to see O'Dowda, but I don't think if he is he featured.
Do
for
we?
The under 23
do we?
Yet?
Do we really think he's going to make? I mean, the way
I don't think
and it was right in front of me, and it was right in front of me. But Cameron Pring, his physicality, tight on the touchline, right? You know, O'Dowda is so powder puff, and it was partly due to his powder puff challenge that he got himself injured in the opening game. I really do not see how he can get in a starting lineup ahead of Alex Scott. I know he's a different player, but he offers, to me, he's not offered enough consistently. And when you talk about, you know, we've got a lot of players, we have, because the other thing, guys, where does Joe Williams fit into this when he becomes fit? And we talk about wingers. What about Saiko Janu bagged two or three goals and what have you? What about giving Chris Martin a rest and put Louis Britton on for half an hour as the big man? Because Chris Martin, who does look fit, he looks really on top of his game, Chris Martin. But, you know, is he going to be up to playing, well, Saturday, Wednesday, yeah, or what? You know, so two things there, Mark. Come to you first. Joe Williams, where do you fit him in? And the winger problem, Saiko Janu. What do you say to that?
I think Williams only fits in if you play a 3-5-2 because you can't see him replacing Massengo, and you need the creativity of Matt James. Mm. You could take King out, but you can't lose Massengo because he's been fantastic in the centre. We only need Chris Martin. We say that, I think, because we're tied to Chris Martin being at the top because of the way that we play. We play the ball high to Chris Martin. So the only natural replacement in the squad is Louis Britton, but he's not even featured, you know, in the squad. But he's not featuring match day at all. So you could put Wells and Vyman in as long as we play the ball on the ground. Mm. Preston showed that you don't need to pump the ball high to create chances.
No,
you just need to be more clever in the way that you distribute the ball. we're tied to this thing about Chris Martin because of the way that we play. And yeah. Chris Martin works tirelessly to create chances. He created a great one for Vyman today. Lots of flick-ons. But yeah. Even that was a little bit predictable, the way that we play.
Yeah.
So I'd go with perhaps play 4-4-1-1 and go on the front foot and place Semenyo on the right, De Silva on the left, and Massengo and James in there, and play Vyman behind Martin again. But trying not to play the ball high up to Martin all the time. He's not bad on the floor. He's good at finding pockets of space, and Vyman charging in behind him will pick up the passes. There were a couple of times in the first half where some of the passing was just a little bit too heavy. The final ball was too heavy between the two of them, and Massengo was guilty on a couple of occasions of too heavy a pass. But so he almost got there, and that was the frustrating thing today.
Yeah. Ian, do you think I'm being harsh on Callum O'Dowda? I mean, when you look at a player who's on fire for the under-23s, which is Saiko Janu, and you say, oh, bring O'Dowda in to the starting lineup against Luton, and he's not played on grass. Well, he's not played a game yet, I don't think. And Janu, you know, he is on fire, apparently, yeah? What do you...
I think Sykes is playing very well. Yeah, give him a game on the left wing if you're going to play 4-4-2. It makes more sense than playing De Silva there, because De Silva is tricky, but he's struggles to cross the ball sometimes.
Fundamental.
Well, hang on. If you listen, if he can't, if he struggles to cross the ball and get assists, the last thing you want to do is play him left wing. I could see him as a left wing back. I could see him as a left fullback. In the same way, I could see Cam Pring playing there. But I think O'Dowda gives you pace. He gives you some height. I disagree with your analysis of how he got injured. He miscontrolled a ball. He should have shot first time, and he took a touch, and a lad kicked him. I mean, he can't help being kicked.
No.
And I think the injury was probably worse than anybody, probably worse than was let on. And I'm a bit surprised to not see either of Williams or O'Dowd in the squad today. So yeah, give Soku Janna a go. put Louis Britton on the bench. Why not? But I'm saying it does to a degree. You have to play more attacking players than we're playing at the moment. Yeah. You can't go into a game at home with a centre half at left back and a left back on the left wing. I'm sorry, but you just it's asking not to score goals. And I know we've done that away, but it's slightly different, and we have a lot less of the ball, and we've caught teams on the break. And that might be, we might have to play that way away and then play differently at home. And the other thing is Preston are a different kettle of fish from Cardiff. Cardiff are more long ball, more direct, play a lot of Kiefer Moore, get the ball high and wide, and we picked a team to counter that. And that's great. But Preston are a different kettle of fish. And I think looking at Luton's side, I think Luton will be as well.
What a different kettle of fish. Yeah.
Yeah. In terms of the way they play the ball, they play the ball more on the ground than punt the ball long.
Yeah, because they've got some big lads in there, haven't they? Yeah.
Well, they seem to be playing Cameron Jerome up front now, don't they?
I was going to say, is that Cameron Jerome ex of Birmingham and Cardiff and Norwich or wherever it was? Well, Norwich he played for. Maybe it was Cardiff as well.
Cardiff, Norwich, Sunderland, Stoke.
Yeah, David Hayward has said on here, Pearson doesn't like Jenna or Backinson at the moment as they don't work hard enough out of possession. Well, that probably applies to Casey Palmer as well. But I noticed that Backinson made it into the match day squad today, guys. Any thoughts on that, Ian? Backinson.
Well, I think Backinson, the mistake that's been made with him is that people see him as a four or a six. So the Masengo or the James position, I see him more as an eight or even a 10. And one thing with Backinson, he knows where the back of the net is.
Yeah.
And he, when he scores goals, mind, they are crackers. So I like the kid. I can understand why Pearson thinks he's a bit languid and a bit this and a bit that. But one thing he can do is pass the ball forward. And when he gets the ball, he looks to pass the ball forward. He doesn't look to knock it sideways. I think he's a good option. I think I'd probably rather have him on the bench than Andy King. I think we have got, but we've got a stronger squad. So let's not do what we normally do, which is kill 11 blokes by Christmas. Let's rotate the squad. Pearson could easily make three or four changes to the 11 today and finish up with a stronger, more balanced side. I think that is the way to look at utilising your squad. And you do that before you get a raft of injuries. And then you absolutely have to do it. And I agree what you said earlier on about Louis Britton, who once again got some goals. Another lad knows where the back of the net is. And I think he would be, in the way that we play, a more natural replacement for Chris Martin. And I'd at least have him on the bench. But now that we've got players fit, and we've only got two out of the first team squad injured. One of those I wouldn't call first team squad. I'd call him one of the under 23s. Tommy Conway. He got a squad number, but what they did this week, they left a lot of those lads like Masengo out because he's under 21 or under 23. He doesn't need to get named in the 25 that go to the EFL. So we only sent 21. So we've got 24 players in the under 23s. Eight of those are out on loan. And one of the ones with first team experience is out on loan in Riley Taylor. We've only got one player out on loan from the first team squad. And that's Moore. Taylor Moore, and who probably you would think
won't come back. I don't think. Listening to Pearson's interviews, he's not a fan there, is he? I don't think.
He's made it quite clear. Yeah, if there was a
bus, I did notice the loving that was going on between Pearson and Naki Wells. You know, he had his arm round him before he brought him on a sub. Maybe it should have been 10 minutes earlier than it was. But, you know, we've not talked about Naki. He scored four goals in a second tier match recently. But, you know, does he get a run out? Where do we fit him in, or don't we? Is that,
well, if you play him, you've got to play him down the centre. I mean, he was sort of playing on the left of a three, or just behind the front two today, and I think he did pretty well. You know, he created some crossing chances, forced a couple of corners at the death, which you know, with some better delivery, one where Atkinson just couldn't get over the ball and it was headed over the bar. You know, worked very hard, but I mean, it must be frustrating for him that he's not starting games because Pearson prefers Vyman behind Martin, and Martin's going to start at the top. But like I said, if we don't have to be wedded to playing at the high ball to a big forward, you can play two smaller players if you play the ball on the ground. You know, it's not impossible. Other teams do it, and I like what Ian said about Tyreek Backinson. I remember last season, I think it was against Huddersfield, he played some fantastic balls inside the between the fullback and the centre backs. Very good pass with the ball, and his shots against Wickham and Sheffield Wednesday were fantastic, especially rescuing a point up there. Yeah. I mean, we were playing most of the match with 10 men. You know, smack in the back of the net from about 20-25 yards, both of them. So I'm sure if he was brought in, he wouldn't show himself up. But I think playing further forward, why not?
Guys, my voice is about to pack in. I'm surprised I've gone. I apologise to people for my spluttering. I did have a negative test, so I did check that out beforehand. Ian, we're doing a poddy. When are we doing one after the Luton game? Did we say we'd do it on Thursday morning?
We said Thursday, didn't we?
I think we did. Yeah, so we'll do it. Anybody who's listening, I'll put the link up there, but it'll be uploaded to the Podbeam channel later on Thursday. It's a bit difficult doing it on a not after a night game. It starts to get a little bit late. But thanks to everybody that's joined in today. My high point of the day for me was seeing the score up at Portman Road, Ipswich 2, Bolton 5, and I'm just wondering.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Ipswich 2, Bolton 5, and Little Lee seems to have won round the Sunderland fans. He got manager of the month. They beat Accrington today. I think we'll be playing against him next season, and I wonder how long Paul Cook's got in charge of Ipswich Town. Ian Mark, thank you as always for your contribution. Thanks to everybody who's listened, and we will see you. You will hear us next time you tune into the podcast, be it live or uploaded. So thanks a lot, everybody. Have a good evening. Cheers. Bye now.
Thank you. Stay safe,
bye.
Everybody.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye-bye.